This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hey there, cat lovers. Welcome to Nine Lives with Dr. Cat on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Catherine Prim, and I always say I'm a small animal veterinarian and crazy cat lover, but also I am an author and the nation's first fear-free certified professional, and the reason I have this show is because I want to help cats. And for those people that maybe don't have a close relationship with their veterinarian and need good veterinary advice, this show is where to go. If you've ever had a cat that struggled with urinary issues, you can know how frustrating and just concerning it can be. And today I have with me Dr. Allie Kendall, and she's a leading researcher in the area of feline urinary health. So we're going to talk a little bit about urinary health and some of the syndromes that we see associated with changes in urinary health, why they happen, and what we as veterinarians and cat owners may be able to do to help. So we're going to take a quick break and come right back with Dr. Kendall. We'll be right back.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand, only from Pet Life Radio.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Nine Lives with Dr. Cat on Pet Life Radio. I have Dr. Kendall with me today. Hi, Dr. Kendall.
Hi, how are you?
I am excellent. I am so excited to talk with you today. Can you just tell my listeners a little bit about who you are and what you do and how you kind of got there?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Allie Kendall. I am a clinical associate professor at North Carolina State University. So very high in academia and research is kind of why I stayed in academia. And I am board certified in internal medicine. And then over the past maybe 10 years or so, I've had a shift into really becoming and diving into the field of urology, which is the urinary tract. Now, I do like the kidneys as well, so it's kind of all encompassed to nephrology and urology. But the urinary tract is certainly an organ system that really piqued my interest over the past few years. And so actually right now I am the American College of Veterinary Nephrology Urology. It's a brand new college in the last 2 years. And I am working towards getting board certified in that. So then I can be board certified in both internal medicine and nephrology urology. But certainly the past few years, I have focused, you know, solely just on the urinary tract and urology, doing both clinics, teaching, and research of the urinary tract at North Carolina State.
Wow, I'm so glad that you do this because I, in clinical practice, see a lot of cats with pee problems. So let's just start with the basics. What exactly are the basic causes that you think a cat might see a veterinarian that would be associated with their urinary tract for?
I think certainly the most common thing we're going to see is cats that are urinating outside of the litter box. I think that's probably one of the most common signs. And now, certainly there's varying degrees of that. Some cats might, you know, have blood in their urine. Maybe the owners will notice a different change to either the size or the smell of the cat's urine. And then in male cats, you know, we worry particularly about blocking where they can't pee at all. And so those cats certainly will go in and out of the litter box and be significantly painful. But certainly urinating outside of the box is probably one of the most common things we see. And, you know, we're really talking about indoor cats that use a litter box.
Absolutely. And is certainly a cause of suffering in cats and very, very important. Okay, so let's be a little bit more specific, though, about feline interstitial cystitis. It's not just a urinary tract infection, right?
Correct. Yeah. So it is, you know, when we look at urinary tract diseases in cats, certainly feline idiopathic cystitis or feline interstitial cystitis, which we call FIC for short, is going to be the most common cause of urinary disease in indoor cats. And that's probably makes up about two-thirds of the cases you'll see out in practice for cats that have had urinary problems. Now, certainly cats can have other things like urinary tract infections, bladder stones, but those are much less common.
Okay. So if it's not an infection, antibiotics aren't going to help at all. So we kind of need to do some other things maybe. So what do you think my listeners could expect if they noticed that their cat was doing this and they did go to their veterinarian? What do you think they would expect to have happen?
Yeah, well, FIC is certainly it's a hard diagnosis because it is a diagnosis of exclusion, meaning that we have to rule out all of these other things first before we can settle on a diagnosis of FIC. Because there's really no one test that's going to tell us a cat has FIC. And so most of that is ruling out infection. So their vet may recommend a urine analysis to rule out infection. But a urine analysis also does help us with a treatment and management plan for cats with FIC. So I like to see that no matter what. And then usually some sort of imaging, being either x-rays or even better would be an ultrasound, but that's a little bit more expensive. And that's going to help look for stuff that is in the bladder that shouldn't be there. So stones, tumors, which are more common in dogs than in cats, but certainly anything else inside the bladder that could be causing irritation.
So I think it's worth mentioning again that the urinary obstruction is an emergency and it's very painful. So for my listeners, if your cat cannot urinate, it is an emergency. Can you kind of expound on that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that is, you know, definitely a very big emergency and probably one of the biggest causes of emergency visits to the ER with cats. And, you know, this is really, when we're talking about this, it's really talking about male cats. Female cats, you know, can, but it's much less likely. And that just has to do with their anatomy and the width compared to the length of their urethra. And so males have a much longer, skinnier urethra that tapers really quickly as you get to the end of the penis. And so those cats, male cats particularly, are at really high risk of blocking, meaning that something has blocked their urethra to where they can't get urine out. And that is an emergency and for multiple reasons, but certainly it is very, very painful for the cat to not be able to urinate. And so their bladder gets very big, very hard. And then, you know, the bladder is a very important organ for filtering different toxic substances from our body. And so if you cannot filter those out, they back up into the bloodstream and can also make the cat feel very sick too. And so, you know, most of the time it can be quite obvious that they have a block. Most of that is going to be going to the litter box frequently, posturing to urinate without anything coming out. And most cats will vocalize while they're doing this because it's so painful. But some cats as well can also, they just present really, really sick. And cats are hard when they're sick because they oftentimes go and hide places when they're not feeling well. So I think really just being aware of your cat and knowing they're normal, are they hiding more than normal? Are they not coming out from under the couch or under the bed? Are they really sick? Those would all be indications that you should probably get your cat to a vet pretty quickly.
So what do you think are some risk factors? You talked a little bit about the gender of the cat. Are there any other risk factors that might predispose a cat to this issue?
Yeah, well, we know FIC is brought on most often by stress, and most of that stress is brought on by cats' environments. And, you know, one of the big reasons, too, is that, you know, there are multiple reasons to keep cats indoors. So certainly not promoting for cats to not be indoors because there's multiple reasons to keep them indoors for both their safety and safety of other creatures around your home. But the problem being is that there's been kind of a breakdown in moving cats indoors, but not meeting their needs of what they need. So, you know, dogs, we are very good at knowing what they need. You know, dogs with high energy need to go for more walks, or they need to to have more play dates or go to parks. Most owners, I feel like, are pretty good about understanding dog needs, but we've had this kind of breakdown of cat needs and what a cat needs inside a home to be happy and less stressed.
I think it's very interesting that this stress comes down to the urinary tract for the cat. But so that's probably sort of what spawned you to do this research, yes?
Yes, it did. Yeah. So, you know, certainly I like the urinary tract. And I also like cats a lot. And I feel like in the last few years, our understanding of cats in veterinary medicine has kind of skyrocketed. We're much better at understanding pain in cats, understanding feline behavior. And so there's been this kind of uptick in feline veterinary medicine. And then also I have an FIC cat myself. And so I can relate to owners because I know how frustrating of a disease it is. And so all those things kind of came together to make me interested in this, to start researching it. You know, although it is a frustrating condition. And so initially I was kind of like, oh no, like I don't know if I want to take this on because it's such a frustrating disease. But, you know, I've really enjoyed it. And I've really enjoyed talking to all of these owners that share in this frustrating disease. And it's, you know, it's making me understand the disease a lot more.
Well, as a general practitioner, I agree. It is a frustrating disease and there's no easy button. So I want to take a quick break and come back and talk a little bit more specifically about your exciting research. So we'll be right back.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your Cat Tree Tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. cattreetray.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to 9 Lives with Dr. Cat. Dr. Allie Kendall and I are talking about the frustrating specter of FIC, feline interstitial or idiopathic cystitis, and how difficult it is going to be. And I promised you all that we would talk about some exciting new things. Before we do, though, Dr. Kendall, I want to talk about some of the standard treatment options before what you are looking into. What do people expect to hear from their veterinarian after they get this diagnosis?
Yeah, well, FIC kind of encompasses two different things, stress and pain. And so the instigator, the primary inciting cause is typically stress. And again, we talked about most of that comes from the environment and us as cat owners not meeting cat needs within the home. And then that is manifesting as pain. And these cats can be really significantly painful. And that's been something really exciting coming out of my research is kind of showing that and proving that point. But to treat it, really, you've got to kind of treat both arms because unfortunately, it can become a pretty vicious cycle in which the stress causes pain. And then the fact that they're painful causes more stress. And so most of the standard treatments, you know, we have medications for pain, and we also have medications for stress, like anti-anxiety medications. But both of those things in and itself can also be stressful for cats too. Cats do not like to be medicated. It's very difficult to medicate cats. They don't often take meds in treats well. It's hard to hide them. And so tracking down your cat twice a day and medicating them might actually be causing more harm than good. So really the standard, the best treatment is understanding cat needs and evaluating cat environments within the home and mitigating stress within the environment. And that is going to be your best prevention technique. And then, you know, we oftentimes during times of flares, when cats are in the, you know, in an active episode of having urinary disease, we often will treat them with pain medications. But the goal is, again, not to keep them on pain medications lifelong so that we're not adding and contributing to that stress that the cat is feeling in the home.
Yes, that's amazing, because getting urine samples and giving medications to cats is always a challenge. So you are doing some research, and I happened across it, and I was very excited about it. Can you just tell us a little bit more about what you're doing and what you're finding?
Yeah, so our idea when we, you know, have discussed FIC, again, is we have all these tools now, and there's new articles coming out about, you know, again, doing this environmental modification to adjust your home to suit your cat's needs and mitigate stress. But our idea, how do we treat this pain? And again, treating pain in cats can be a little bit of a challenge. We don't have great pain medications for cats, unfortunately, due to some of their other organ systems, make it challenging to give them chronic pain meds. And again, by not giving them oral medications, that is just contributing to that stress. And so our goal was, can we treat these cats by controlling their stress, by educating the owners about their environment, while also treating their pain with something that was not a systemic pain medication, so nothing that they had to take by mouth. And that's where the idea came about, using low doses of radiation therapy. And so most people, when they think about radiation therapy, think about it in terms of cancer treatment. That is usually either very high doses or multiple doses frequently to kill off cancer cells. But actually, in veterinary medicine, we've been using low-dose radiation for pain for actually a very long time. And the classic example of that is bone cancer in dogs. And so we know that bone cancer in dogs is very, very painful, and it's often not curable. And so our goal with that cancer was never really to cure their cancer, but it was to mitigate their pain and keep them less painful. And that is using lower doses. And so that's where the idea came from. Can we use a lower dose on the bladder as kind of a pain control dose, not that kind of cancer dose that most people have that association with?
So this would be used only during flare-ups to address pain and sort of try to break this cycle. Is that what I'm understanding?
Yeah, and not necessarily during a flare. You know, one of the things that we have come out in our research by, you know, following these cats out for years and years and going back is that these cats, even not having a flare, they are pretty chronically painful. So it is a chronic painful disease. So it's not something that causes pain just during an active flare. So we can treat these cats at any time, whether they're in an active flare or not. And our goal is solely just to break that cycle. Like, can we just get rid of their chronic pain, which will hopefully decrease their stress at home. So we can treat them at any time.
So this is still in the experimental, like I couldn't refer a patient for this, or could I?
You can, yeah. So we have studied this in male cats. So that study completed about a little over a year and a half ago, a year ago. And we have been, you know, really so excited and optimistic about the results in male cats that we have started to offer it to male cat owners. And there are actually a few places within the country that are also offering it as well. There are still a lot of places that are waiting for that publication to come out before they start to offer it, which I think is completely reasonable. And so we're working hard on trying to get that publication out so it become more widespread. So male cats, I feel pretty confident in it being offered as a treatment option. Female cats, we are still in the experimental phase. So still looking at if it is going to be a similar success as it is in the male cats. But males certainly get a much more severe form of the disease. And so we're kind of focused on those cats as of now.
So I don't want to get terribly deep in the weeds because I don't want to lose my listeners' attention. But can you tell me just a little more on the cellular level? Like, how is this working?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, to be completely transparent and honest is that nobody really knows, you know, and that's just true of radiation therapy. You know, we do know that at these lower doses, we are inhibiting inflammatory cells at a cellular level. So very similar to what it would do to cancer cells, we're doing to the inflammatory cells. And also, you know, but how exactly it treats pain consistently, that one is still hard to really understand at a cellular level. But we do know we're lowering inflammatory cells, lowering cytokines, and we're probably doing something to those nerve receptors causing that pain, which is probably the primary source of their pain.
So you said you're using it, you know, for male cats with good success, but what have been the outcomes so far?
Yeah, so right now, you know, we are seeing about a 90% success rate with it. And when I say 90% success rate, you know, two kind of caveats to that. One is that the owner is managing the stress at home. You know, again, I don't think that this is successful if we're not treating the other arm of it to get them out of this cycle. So we do still need owners to be committed to learning about what their cat needs are and making adjustments in their home to fulfill those needs. You know, and then the other one is that we're not looking for 100% cure. So these cats, you know, might still go on to have minor flares. We are looking for an overall improvement. And so we have had some cats that maybe it did cure. So their owners have reported absolutely no recurrence of urinary tract signs since the time they got treated. And then we have had cats where, you know, they might have one or two small flares a year. And that is typically surrounding stressful events or stressful things that are occurring in the home at that time. But our goal is that they don't block to where they have to go to a hospital, and that there are cats that are basically in a constant flare. It's almost a daily thing. And so our goal is to just significantly improve those cats. And so when you look at significant improvement in quality of life and urinary tract signs, it's probably anywhere around 90% improvement.
Okay, that is absolutely amazing. And I'm so excited. So walk us through a day in the life. Like, if one of my clients took their cat to see you, what would happen?
Yeah, so we do now have an FIC clinic at NC State. So we see cats for consultation appointments. And most of that is sitting down and having this discussion about, you know, I tried to get a really good idea about the environment that that cat is in and what kind of changes we can make to improve that environment for them. So we talk a lot initially about stress management, behavior of cats, indoor cats, and see what can we do in the home to help. And then oftentimes we will look to make sure that we are truly dealing with FIC. And so again, that is usually looking at their urine with a urinalysis. And then we're often doing an ultrasound to look inside their bladder and see if there's anything else. If all of that looks really good and we feel that the cat is a good candidate, meaning that the cat truly has FIC and that it belongs to owners who are willing, going to be willing participants in that cat's management plan, then we will do the radiation therapy, which typically happens the following day because they do need a very short time under anesthesia to have the radiation. And that's just because they need to be still, you know, versus people. Well, you can lay on a radiation table. The cats, we really need them to be still, but it's pretty short. They're usually under anesthesia for less than an hour. And then most of the time, these cats pop right back up and recover. And as soon as they're recovered, they can go home to their owners.
Are there any side effects or risks associated with this therapy?
Yeah. So far, the only, you know, acute side effect, meaning our short-term side effect we have seen is about a quarter of the cats, maybe even a little bit less, have had a little bit of changes to their coat color at the site of radiation. And so most of that is having kind of some white or gray fur pop in over their hind end, which is fine. It's totally cosmetic. You know, I've looked at these cats and it's a complete cosmetic thing. But that has been the only short-term side effect. I mean, obviously, I always have to say lack of efficacy is a side effect as well, too. So, you know, we still are in the midst of treating cats. And so are there going to be cats that just have no response at all? I would say probably. I think that's true of any research. Long-term side effects is, you know, certainly that is one of the discussions I have with the clients is we do not know long-term side effects. And so our first cat was treated 5 years ago. That cat I've kept in contact with, that cat is still doing well, has had no long-term side effects within that 5 years. But, you know, 10 years down the line, 12 years down the line, do we know if there's going to be any side effects of having radiation? That one I cannot say for sure. But I would say that most cat owners, their cat is so miserable that, you know, they really are focused on quality of life. Can I get them a few years of good quality of life and kind of less worried about those potential long-term side effects?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it too, because it is something that is frustrating for me. So I really appreciate your time. I love your commitment. I'm so grateful to you for your work on this issue and for taking the time to share with us what you're finding and what you're learning. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you're very welcome. It's been exciting. And we're just trying to find ways to give both these cats and these owners some relief.
Absolutely. Well, this is awesome. I want to thank my listeners for tuning in. If your cat is experiencing these symptoms that Dr. Kendall and I have discussed, please consult with your veterinarian to talk about the best treatment options. And also, thank you to our amazing producer. And as always, if you like what you hear and you learn on Nine Lives with Dr. Kat, please subscribe, follow, share, review, and go out and have a perfect day.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.